Genesis 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old and of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, let's go to 2 Peter 2:4. No, 1 Peter. No, 1 Peter 3. Verse 13. Why don't you prophesy? Why don't you say what's there all the time? It's because you're afraid of the consequences.
Trouble.
And who, verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. The problem is you'll never know their terror because they'll never know where you're coming from. You walk through life, and you talk to people about this as though it were a debatable thing. You make truth negotiable. Well, I tell you one thing. If any of you have been around here very long, you've got to recognize by now that nothing that I preach is negotiable. Because if I don't know that it's true, I won't speak of it. Now, you can't get in discussions with people about religion. It's crazy. The only thing you can do with your mouth is to prove that someone is in a state of vanity. You understand? You can't prove this stuff. This stuff comes by revelation.
Those Jehovah Witnesses stop by, and it's like everything they said, it was like you couldn't really get in a debate or argue with them, or you know, it was like I just kept saying the same thing essentially over and over and over to them. It's like,
yeah,
it just
okay. The idea that no one can hear what we are about unless their ears have been circumcised. That means, spiritually, that spiritually the ear is circumcised, naturally that means that they have failed. If they are not in a state of failure, they cannot hear what this is about. Now, it could be a failure of a jillion things. A marriage could have failed, a relationship failed, business failure, whatever. But unless they are in a state of failure, they cannot hear this, and it's fruitless to discuss it with them. The only thing that I ever did when I used to have all these arguments, I just make people mad, and I did it on purpose. And if I ever get back on the radio, I'm going to do it a whole lot more than they ever dreamed of, just to make fun of their stupid little religions. to get him mad, to get him furious. You know, it's not a lot of work either. I mean, it's not real difficult to do that. To get them gnashing their teeth. To get them to rend their garments. But you can't debate this stuff. Now that's where most of you talk about it with your relatives or those in your arena. You present it as though it's a debatable issue. It's not. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, that's verse 15 there is the definition of evangelism according to the Bible, its own internal definition. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You know what the word evildoers there means? It means a child of the evil one. They are going to accuse you of being a child of Satan. You understand? For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Now, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Who did he preach to? Who are these spirits in prison?
People that died before the time of Noah, among others.
Let's go to... Do you understand that it's also...
There's no time, though, right?
Everybody? Let's go to Jude. No, go to 2 Peter for a minute.
Maybe so. Huh? Maybe everybody.
Second Peter chapter 2. Peter and John and James were witnesses to one of the great mysteries of the universe. They were witnesses to the transfiguration of Christ. You understand that? When time and space and all law, natural and spiritual, lost their hold on Christ, he was transfigured on a mountain just before he was crucified. He had to have been transfigured, otherwise he could not have been the perfect sacrifice. He had to be transfigured and then come back.
He got out.
He got out and he came back. Understand? He had finished the course at the moment of his transfiguration. That instead of the glory that was set before him, he went back and endured the cross so that we might live. Now, you can imagine that you, along with Peter and James and John, were the witnesses of this incredible sight, that this being standing in front of you exploded and became brighter than the sun. Okay. Start in chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming or presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, Peter was the eyewitness of the majesty. The majesty or the glory of God is always connected with the transfiguration, that moment when time and space has lost its hold. Whenever you see the word glory or majesty, it's talking about that moment. And that's what you're here for. You are here to be transfigured. Not for any of this other crap. You're not here to be stylish. You're not here to be intelligent. You're not here to be well-read. You're not here to be learned. You're not here to be a good employee. You're here to be transfigured. Only. You're not even here to make disciples. You do that incidentally. My God, if I were here to make disciples, I would have quit. No, you leave time and space. You go into eternity, into that reality. There's a reality that's overriding us that's always here. There's only one place. There's only one mountain. There's only one reality. This is a phony one. This is a test one.
And so that's what it means when you will have eternal life.
Yeah, if you don't have it now, you never will. Eternal life isn't sometime in the future. Eternity is no time at all. When the words that are translated is forever and ever, you know, forever and ever, you think, oh, I'm going to live forever and ever. It doesn't mean forever and ever. Forever isn't sometime in the future. It's no time. You got it? That's why all men die at the same instant. All men died on the cross because their death is the leaving of time and space going to something else. To the ones in prison, they stay locked in space. To the ones in Christ, they leave time and space, because the ones in Christ are seated on the mercy seat. You understand? This is what that superconductor, super collider that they're going to spend $8 billion for a few miles south of here, that's what that will prove. It's incredible. It'll prove that there is no such thing as linear time. That's what they will find, and that'll blow them away. Because once there's no such thing as linear time, then all of science falls apart. Everything in science, every scientific formula, every chemical formula, all assume that time is linear at the same rate. Constant. That super collider, superconductor, is going to prove that time is not linear, that the Big Bang, it started up, and it was at a slower rate than it is now, and that's why all their calculations about the age are wrong. But what it does to us is it proves to us that there is an overriding reality now, that if you're not in eternity now, you never will be. That the purpose of time and space is to be transfigured now, that we might know the mystery, that we might see the mystery, that we might see and know the New Jerusalem now. And all those that are waiting for Christ to appear, it'll be as though, what? They were stopping to rest from running from a lion and a bear met them. Remember? It'll be as though they're stopped and put their hand up to rest against a wall and a serpent bit them, because they're waiting for the day of the Lord. We are not those that are waiting for the day of the Lord. We're waiting for the destruction of our idolatry that prevents us from seeing that day now. If you think there's anything left to do, you're believing a lie. And if you speak anything other than this in your environment, you're going to be bored and you're going to make truth negotiable. And God's going to get really pissed. The stuff I'm telling you, I didn't learn it. by anybody, from anybody. I saw it. Okay, now we got Peter, James, and John standing with Jesus Christ on top of a mountain. And listen to what he says. Verse 16, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's what the voice, that was the voice that came at the Mount of Transfiguration. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also. Now that's, you understand? Listen, you couldn't by your senses want anything more than that. That's the end result of time and space. You're seeing it. Peter says, you have a better, sure, more sure word than that. Listen, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until a day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Every one of you have seen that light at the end of the tunnel. That's the only light, because if you hadn't, you wouldn't be dumb enough to be here. You wouldn't put up with some idiot like me shouting at you unless you had seen that light. And that's the only thing that satisfies you. Now, God is saying here, take heed to only that light. No other thing on the face of the earth can affect you. Watch that light. Look at it. That's the idea of hope. It's something that you've seen and you know is there. That's what hope is. Hope isn't for some idiotic thing that the senses perceive. Now, we have not followed, and I have not followed, cunningly devised fables to tell you about this stuff. I experienced it in 1972. Does that make me a mystic and a weirdo? Yeah. It makes me say that nothing in this book is negotiable. And it makes me totally impatient with unbelief. It makes me totally impatient when you don't speak, when you don't prophesy. It makes, because when you don't, you've made my life a joke. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. There's no such thing. What he's saying is there's only one truth. You can't take any of this and say, oh, well, it means that. You can't have any little sit-around discussions. I've heard about Bible studies like that, where you sit around and people say, well, I think it means this. I'm sure you'd like to be in one of those. Wouldn't it be nice for your intellect?
I would.
Well, you might as well get a Bible commentary. At least somebody is educated. Somebody going, yeah. Yeah.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. How do you deny the Lord that bought you? By not prophesying. And you will bring upon yourself swift destruction by not prophesying, because you are saying to God that I still am under my own control if I don't speak what's there. Do you understand? There's no excuse for not prophesying. You think it. Every time you think a word, your vocal cords move. Thought is silent speech. You think it, you sit there and think over and over and over, trying to get it right so you can speak it, so you won't get any bullshit if when you do speak it. It's sick. Sick, sick, sick. If you think it, you've spoken it. But you've spoken it into an empty well because you're trying to, what? Hew out your own cistern. You're trying to make your own thing look well. You're trying to define your own timing. You're trying to grow an inch. You're trying to grow a foot. You want control. It's the evil one. This evil one sets himself up in your temple, proclaiming himself to be as God, defining what is the right time to speak. I mean, some of you hate me. And yet you don't speak it. Why? Denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. And the word many there in the Greek means almost all. Almost all shall follow those pernicious ways. Why? Because you feed. Go listen to the Bible. Go listen to these guys. Go. I wish you'd go to some churches and listen to what they teach you. In the name of God, they teach you how to be in control. They teach you how to get it right, how to be in control, how to avoid what's wrong. Jesus said of them, he said, they shall travel over sea and land to make one convert, and when they are made, they shall make him twice the child of hell that you are. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Through covetousness, with feigned words, make merchandise of you. Does that sound familiar? In the other scripture, it says that they used the word of God deceitfully. They added water to the wine for the purposes of commerce. They made this stuff acceptable. How to? Let me tell you how to have a nice, happy life with Jesus. How to do this in the name of God, how to do that in the name of God is all sick. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I mean, I'm a pussycat compared to these guys. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. What angels?
Third of the angels.
These angels he's talking about right here are the ones that were mixing with the women. That's right. Deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth. You understand why? I mean, it's tied to Noah, that's why. A preacher of righteousness bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Anyway, there are three different references to this. Well, let's go to Jude, my favorite book.
You know what I was thinking of, and this may be out there, it wasn't me, about another reason why the world had to be flooded, because there are all these half men, half spirit beings. Once God realized that wasn't the way, they had to be destroyed. Evil people, but they had to be destroyed as well for our sake.
That's what we're going to find out in a minute, because he uses a word that is connected only with the sacrifice to describe Noah.
Right.
Just ruined it.
This is your favorite book in the Bible?
No, I'm just, this is a rough one, and I'm just being facetious.
It's building for an hour. Yeah, and especially bad. It's building a curve in the property for an hour, and you just whack the corners.
Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The word deny there is it's a technical word that means they have built a dam. That's what it means. You've built a dam to stop the flow of the water. That's how you deny him. If you deny him before man, he will deny you before God. You got it? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water only, but they're not going to flow unless you open the dam. Aren't you tired of walking in your carefulness? I mean, life's a whole lot more exciting just to explode. You get people pissed off at you a lot, but so what?
There are certain men.
False teachers.
Well, but I mean, I think it's kind of wild. Like certain, like specific men who were before of old ordained to this condemnation.
Well, I mean, it probably. No, I won't. Never mind.
It doesn't mean anything.
He's probably talking about the Levites. So I know you were going to say that.
Would I say something like that?
Yeah, sure you would.
Huh?
You probably.
I wouldn't. You think I would say something like that?
Sure you'd say something like that.
Yeah. What? No, I wouldn't say
that. Should he say something here?
What?
Super fluid.
Of naughtiness. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. They left their first estate, which was what? Space without time. And coupled with the daughters of men. That's what this is talking about.
So they had to enter space and time.
They had to enter time, right?
They had to enter time. They were locked in space, but they entered time. Space is the prison that Christ spoke of. That's the real prison. Time and space is what gives dimension. The word has to be made flesh, so that's why there's time and space.
Does that mean that
when you die, you leave time, but you're locked in space, except if you're sitting on the mercy seat? Then you leave time and space and live in eternity. Now! You got it? I can draw it for you better, but what?
Does that mean when they came into time, they stepped into time on their own? They took on flesh? Did they create flesh? They became flesh.
They took on flesh.
Just by stepping through the barrier.
Yeah, the same way that all they did. I mean, that's no big trick if you're locked in there. Except now he's made it impossible.
So that has to be for the moment now. Right? I mean, that's eternity.
No.
Now.
Now.
So by you prophesying.
Now.
Now. It's not a couple of days from now.
Right. And always, your mind has the power of a God. But it's an evil God. Your mind is an evil God above all things.
Yeah, I know.
But. That's the way, the reason the cross was necessary. That's why we pick up the cross daily. And Christ is revealed in our abandonment.
And that's where the death comes in.
And that death is, at that moment, man, when you abandon yourself, you're dead meat.
Yeah.
So there's lots of people, too.
Lots of souls.
In Sheol or whatever.
Yeah.
Space without time.
Right.
Hanging out with the guys in chains.
Okay.
They just so when you go the other way, you step through out of time. Oops. That flesh, you cast off the flesh that you take on when you come in.
Amen.
You just get that look on his face.
Yeah. Piece of something, I don't know what.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. This is not talking about Lucifer's kingdom now. They're talking about the angels that left that estate and entered into this. They left their own habitation, and they left it for what reason? They wanted to diddle around with his daughters of men.
What?
but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
Oh, wow.
What?
Well, just the thing about homosexuality or bestiality or whatever, how that with people, that's not the first time it happened. I mean, it originally happened in this place where the angels and the people. And,
yeah. Well, do you understand? The word for John, let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 6. And verse 4. Well, starting in verse 2. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. It's a weird thing going on here. And the result of the mixing between the sons of God and the daughters of men was what? Giants. Nephilim, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days. In fact, it had gotten so bad that the mixing, the genetic mixing, touched everyone save these 8 people. Everyone on the face of the earth at this time, maybe up to 250 million people were mixed with another race. There were only 8 that were unmixed. And God had to destroy the earth by water in order to protect the integrity of the seed of woman. That's why the flood came. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Now, the giants, in verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. The word is Nephilim. There are several slight variations of that word that we'll see all the way up through Genesis, up to when David slew Goliath. Goliath was the last of the Nephilim. And so when David spiritually, when David slew that giant, he slew the last evidence or last mixing that could take place. Now, that's why it's only the promises of God go not to the seeds as of many, but to thy seed, which is Christ. The promises of God don't go to you. They go to that seed of Christ. That's why, again, that integrity of that sperm had to be maintained. That's the only purpose of time and space. All of the stuff that you can think about isn't the integrity of the seed. None of all a human race is. The human race, you heard me say it, are God's sperm cells. And it's just, you're just a bunch of sperm cells that can think and move around and think you're going somewhere. But God, you ever seen those, the movies, the sex? We got to get this. That's great.
Here's I have it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Sperm machine. She's mad like you watch it.
What do you do with it?
Watch the sperm running up the, you know, little sperm. But the only one that God cares about is the one that meets with the egg. And that egg is the New Jerusalem. That's going to piss off the world when we tell them they're God's sperm cells. And they have as much future as a sperm cell. But we're going to tell them.
What is the integrity of the seed?
Can't be mixed. God will not let it be mixed with anything at the expense of wiping out the earth, killing 250 million people in a flood.
So, but somebody had to survive if Goliath was the last guy.
Huh? No. That's, again, this. It's like this time, space continuum was a thin veil. It was gossamer thin at this time. And they moved in and back and forth. And now as time continued, that got thicker and thicker and thicker. Because it's a mental process. I don't.
Man.
Yeah.
That's, I started getting an ache.
Yeah,
a couple minutes ago. I don't know what it is, but I can almost
See? Now the space between time and space and time without space is real thick. We don't have any evidences of it. All the things that people think are like UFOs and shit are just like little bounces in and out of little things that try to touch it. And all the, you know, people that are allegedly clairvoyant and the telling the future, and they're the ones that by nature their mind is close to that barrier, and so that's where the demons are. Demons can move back and forth throughout space without regard to time. And so it's possible to get stuff partially right, you know, about telling the future or telling the past.
But there's no clear cut.
Yeah, there's no... Yeah. That's why you can't listen to any... If any teacher, if any spirit tells you that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh, or that he will come in the flesh, it's a lie. The only one that you believe is that he is now come in your flesh. Therefore, it's finished. If anybody tells you that something is left to do, it's a lie as equally dangerous as if you were speaking to a demon. You might as well be. You understand? So when your mind tells you there's something else needs to be done, it's as evil as though you were listening to the ugliest demon that you've ever dreamed of.
That's been pretty well, but
as you are.
Can you understand that? It's finished. That's the great, incredible news. It's finished. There's nothing left to do except relax. There's nothing left to do except see him. As our idols are destroyed in front of us, we see him. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
We can only see him in no time, as opposed to linear.
Well, when you see him in time, then linear time goes away. Time is a trick. Time is a deception. Okay? Now, do you have a little bit better understanding about how the sons of God saw the daughters of man, and there were giants, and this is why it had to be destroyed? We'll get more into that.
Huh? What talks about this?
I don't know.
Now, have y'all talked about this before?
No.
Not in bananas.
I mean, the Talmud or the Zohar, do they teach you? No? Okay.
Oh, they may. I mean, I haven't read it in there. I don't feel like talking anymore. Does anybody have anything to say?
Yeah, you just said that time is a trick, time is a deception, and I've never heard you say that before. I've heard you go so far as to say time is an illusion, but I've never heard you say trick or deception. And, you know, after the screaming you've done tonight, I cannot not say that I have known that all my life, and for some reason or other, I have not been able to neglect that or hide from it or forget it, and... It's taken 46 years, but somebody else has said what I've known.
I mean, it seems like since you've been a child, that's all it's ever been. I mean, it's always, you're going to do this at this time, and this is going to happen at this time.
The only real events, everything else that happens in your life is a pseudo-event. In other words, it's an event that some man has gotten together and said, this is something that we're going to do. Like Mother's Day, or like your job, or like going someplace. Or, I mean, in other words, it's a pseudo-event that's defined by another man. All that is true except for the feasts. The feasts are the only things that can take place in time that are not pseudo events, because they're called for in the law. That means, and the law is spiritual, therefore, that the seeing of the mystery of those feasts is the only real thing that can take place in our lives. Everything else is just a pseudo event.
Now, what about?
You understand?
Yeah, as far as the time part of
it. See, the feasts are real. They're supposed to be celebrated in perpetuity.
Something you mentioned last night. What about birth and death? Like, we just had a birth, right?
Unclean.
Part of us just had a birth. But is that a real event in time and space?
No, it's a lie.
Well, real life is
a lie.
The reason the woman is unclean for 40 days if it's a female, or 40 days if it's male, 80 days if it's female, is because there's only one birth, was the birth of the Messiah in you. You understand? Every other birth is only a picture of that, but it's a bad picture. It's a bloody picture.
That's when you come in to be transfigured.
Right.
That's it, to be good type. I mean, birthing of Christ in us isn't so easy and slick.
Well, what about the two people that are, that are spiritual? You know, when you talk about the flesh and the soul and the spirit.
What?
Enoch and Elijah, she's
right. Oh, yeah. Well, they're not, they're still, they had to die. They have to die. They're just there as the witness. The two witnesses. God requires by his law, he says that everything must have it must be witnessed. So therefore an independent revelation is worthless. Even God is independent alone. He couldn't be a witness. God alone couldn't be a witness. So God plus two of us, if you will, Enoch and Elijah, are the witnesses of the truth. So the three constitute the witness. If you've ever had to do anything in navigation, I shouldn't say navigate around Tyra. Tyra cannot navigate anywhere, but she's sleepy.
You got your peanut butter hand and your milk hand.
You have your witnesses.
But it needs 3 points. You need 3 points on the face of the earth to navigate, to establish another point. You need 3 fixes on it. Well, that's why every truth shall be established by 2 or better 3 witnesses. So that's why Enoch and Elijah had to be there as a witness.
So was the one they're witnessing to the third?
The Father. Right. We'll study more about time stuff if you like.
Yeah, we like time stuff.
Yeah.
No time stuff.
No time stuff is better than time stuff.
I'm really good,
man. Take a big guy.